Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
I am Troy Shockley, and this is the Coffee Break Podcast. Thanks for joining our chat today. Coffee Break brought to you by Cochrane Insurance. It's like, I don't know if I want to call you a rerun or just like a fan favorite.
I'm a regular, I think.
Yeah, frequent flyer. Like Assistant Fire Chief Mike Chambers is in the studio today, and he brought along a Robin to his Batman. It's Montana Conservation Corps, AmeriCorps member Matt Corps. There's a lot of cores in there, but I promise they all belong. Guys, thanks for coming in. Mike, thanks for coming back in. You're wearing a path into the studio from your place.
No, yeah, I like it. We always try to have big things going on at the fire department, and we like to share them with the community. And while we're here today, you know, is another big thing I think we've talked about in the past, in the show maybe a couple months ago or something, but we're doing some there's a grant that the county's facilitating through Tri-County Fire Safe Working Group that's going to help folks harden their homes, which Matt's going to talk a little bit more about what he's doing out in the field, and give some people some pathways to do some stuff out in the south part of town where the grant's being located.
Yeah, yeah, and we're going to introduce you guys to the new guy, I promise, but we're starting off with Mike. I mean, so we're talking Fire Safe Helena. Yeah. I mean, this is the program we're talking about today, done through, as I understand, the Tri-County Fire Safe Working Group. Is that how it works?
Yeah, they're a group that facilitates grants, and usually they do a lot of mitigation work. And this grant is something that has been on their table or something they've wanted to do for a very long time, and it finally happened sometime last year where they were able to apply, and it's a lot of money. I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but it's up in the million range of work that can be done that is mixed between the grant and what people want to do with their properties, and it's meant to kind of minimize that wildland risk, ember shower risk on the south end of town, kind of the South Hills area.
Yeah, and when we talk mitigation, that I think people know, but I think we can also slide into it being a jargon word that people are going, what are they talking about?
Mitigation is just fuel management. It's moving piles of wood away from your house. It's trimming trees. It's making sure that you have cleaned up around your property and have some kind of defensible space for wildfire. The ember showers is the thing that really they've proven over time that's really been an issue that pushes the fire ahead, so it makes it grow. And if we can minimize opportunities for embers to get into dirty gutters or cedar shake roofs or decks or wood piles or things around homes, we can minimize the risk to fire.
Yeah. And that's when those fires get out of control, right? I mean, absolutely. Like you see over in California.
Yep.
You know, they talk about another jargon word maybe that we use and people don't realize. We say complex.
Yep.
You know, that people are going, why the August complex? What does that mean? Well, that's just a bunch of fires came together and made one massive fire, right?
Absolutely. And the ember showers is the thing that really creates that, because it's pushing fire ahead and it's making it grow exponentially. And we'll often find in the wildland urban interface that a home will be impacted by fire. The fire has moved past the home, and the home will actually burn down later because an ember got caught in a gutter or into a window well or somewhere where there was fuels that eventually it added up more fuel and oxygen. And then it's just a slow-seeded fire that eventually burns the structure down.
I know last year when we had the big fire, we had we had York. Their fire department was just sitting there waiting on the other side of the river because we were waiting for that ember to go across.
Yes.
You know, and so those embers, I mean, they split up your force as well. They were sitting there probably itching to go in and help, and it was like, no, just in case the wind blows, you have to stay there.
Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing about fire science, and we have a lot of fire scientists in Montana, which has massively changed the industry. So we know that the ember showers and fires being pushed ahead, so we can put resources in front of the fire, but it goes back to some of the ads that we put in the on the radio before. Mm-hmm. We only have so many resources. You talk about York Fire Department. Man, if they can put together a dozen guys any given day, they're feeling pretty good about their response. And that's not uncommon with many fire departments across the county. And even here at Helena, we've only got 9, maybe 10 guys on any given day to protect 30 to 40,000 people. You know, we have over 40,000 people that come into the to work and commute in the community most days. It's not many firefighters and resources to put on a fire. So if we can help people be safe and be proactive, it's going to make their lives better and our jobs easier.
Yeah. Helena Fire's Assistant Chief Mike Chambers is who we're talking with right now to kick things off today. We're talking about fire safety. And I guess when, at first blush, when people say Helena and wildland fires, if you just kind of go past it, you don't it doesn't fit together, right? Because you're thinking, oh, no, we're in the city. We're not out, you know, in the hills. We're not. But there's a, I mean, Helena is in wildfire. It doesn't matter where in Helena you could be impacted by a wildfire.
Right. And we saw this last week with that grass fire that we had out from Birdseye. That could have very easily impacted the city in a wildfire type. It did, really. Smoke and embers were coming into town a little bit on the north end. I do live on the north end, so I'm familiar. But it was a close call. But we have the second largest city park in America, a.k.a. Mount Helena, and there's a lot of fuels up there. And Brad with the city and the Parks Department is doing a lot of mitigation and cutting trees and whatnot up there. But there's still a lot of fuel up there, Davis Gulch, all along the South Hills, because people want to live close to the city, have services, but they also want to live in the trees and the woods. And so we're right in the middle of it, especially on that south end of town. So it's all there. Everything, all the fuels, all the folks.
So second largest. What's is it Central Park?
Yeah.
Is that bigger?
Yeah.
Man, how much bigger? Like, can we like annex something? Like, we can't have New York beating us on something like that, right? Like,
we should have. You know, we've added property through the Prickly Pear Land Trust. Maybe eventually
we need to do some math and find out like what do we need to do.
It's kind of surprising that a mountain isn't as big as a park in the middle of one of the largest cities in the world. Like, it makes no sense because they can't grow.
Right?
Well, probably not.
This should be something that we can rectify. I think Helena can get behind this.
I think it's a great idea. I think you should drive that.
There you go. Well, I wasn't trying to give myself extra work here.
That's what
I'm the idea guy. Well, that's right. You know,
well, I throw out the idea.
Somebody out there listening is also got a burr in the saddle going, New York can't beat us.
New York, come on.
Yeah, New York City.
Come on.
We're talking this morning about fire mitigation and fire safety. We've got Helena Fire Assistant Chief Mike Chambers with us. And we've also got somebody else in the studio. Matt Core is here. We're going to talk with him after the break. He's the new guy. We're going to introduce you to him a little bit. And how involved is Helena in all of this? Because we talk Tri-County, and we're thinking York. We're thinking places like that. Where does Helena sit in the Helena Fire Department in terms of this whole operation?
Well, there's a couple layers there. First off, this isn't a very common grant to have, and it doesn't happen in many other communities. This is like maybe the first time a grant like this has been facilitated within a community of our size and our location within the wildland urban interface. But the Helena Fire Department itself has to be involved. A, we want to be involved, but B, we have to because it's our jurisdiction. It's our protection area. So we fully support it, but yet we don't have the resources to facilitate it. So our back end is to assist with some of our guys getting out and going door to door and doing door hangers and doing some of the boots on the ground work. The political side of coming on the radio and talking and letting people understand what's happening in the community. Just, you know, outreach and teaching folks. And then we let the folks from Tri-County facilitate the grant and do the work. We're just going to be very supportive of that.
Yeah. And I mean, really, in short, we're talking about making your home, making your neighborhood, your community safer through fire season. I mean, ultimately, that's what we're trying to do.
Ultimately, that's it. And the population density in the city is obviously different than it is in the county. And your neighbor on each side of you, and I've seen this in my career where a house caught on fire, and it, you know, initially it's stuck to the, you know, it's in that one structure, but because of the heat and because of the proximity, neighbor houses have burnt down. And that's often what happens in the interface, where in a neighborhood an ember will start one house and they'll have only started that one house, but because of the heat and the fuel packed so tightly within one structure, it catches adjacent structures on fire. So we want to stop that type of fire. It's called a conflagration in the fire service. We want to stop that maybe just kind of moving into town. And if we can hold it to one residence because they've had fuel mitigation and they've done some hardening of their structure, that's big for us.
And when we talk those embers, it's not going 10 feet. I mean, they can go a mile.
Easily a mile.
And land, and it's still an ember.
And exactly. And if folks here were probably very much, everybody saw the grass fire we had there. That was a very light fueled fire. that wasn't trees. It wasn't heavy energy fuels. And it was pushing smoke easily a half mile and heavy ash half mile ahead of it. And it wasn't that much of a fire in the big picture of fire. So you can just see from that example how bad it can be.
Yeah. And we are, I guess, in the tail season.
We're getting there.
Right? Like, yep. I mean, we're certainly not over yet. And that's one of those, it's great thing because we're thinking, right. Oh, we're almost there. But then you can get a little lax.
Absolutely. You know, we usually get a little bit of cold weather and then some moisture, and then it kind of tends to warm up a little bit. And we can still have fires into October. Just, you know, the weather in Montana is fickle. But the moisture that hits the ground now doesn't tend to stay. They got 13 inches up Minnehaha when we had a little fire up there a couple weeks ago up Rimini, and it was gone like the next day or two, and you can't even tell that there was 13 inches of snow up there. So we're still, right. And the fuels are still very dry from months and months and months of heat, wind, et cetera.
So this is a good time to get out there and do some of this mitigation work.
It's a phenomenal time to get out and do mitigation work. It's very present in people's minds. It's very relevant to their day-to-day because we're seeing California and Oregon and other places on fire. It's a great time to act. It's always a good time to act, but right now is, you know, even better.
Yeah, and do it now because if you wait, we have a short memory, and we're going to get to next year and go, the fire season wasn't that bad.
Right.
We can wait.
Right.
You know,
when
it
the
just
snow
takes
flies.
One.
Yeah, because we get 8 months of snow here, and when the snow flies, we're like, we'll worry about it later.
Yeah. We're talking fire and fire safety on Coffee Break this morning. We do have to take a break at some point. We'll go ahead and do that now. We've got Assistant Fire Chief Mike Chambers in the studio, and Matt Core, he's with AmeriCorps. We're going to talk with him. We're going to introduce you to him and tell you just what this looks like. We've been talking kind of big picture. We're going to nail it down a little bit more coming up on Coffee Break. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
In today's always-on world, your business demands a simpler approach to network security. At Blackfoot Communications, we deliver state-of-the-art security solutions, from the perimeter to endpoint devices and remote data backup, for businesses across Montana. Ensure your company's network is online all the time. For more information, visit goblackfoot.com/security.
Welcome back in. This is Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around this morning. Do appreciate that. We're talking fire today, and we opened up with Assistant Fire Chief Mike Chambers. He's with the Helena Fire Department, and he showed the new guy what, you know, this is what you do, Matt. That's how it's done. You've got a high bar now. Matt Core, he's with, I got to get all these in here. He's the Montana Conservation Corps AmeriCorps member. Matt Core, how are you doing, man?
Very well. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Thanks for having us, Troy.
It's so many cores that I got to work in there. I mean, you're the new guy. Can you introduce yourself a little bit, let folks know who you are?
Yeah, my name is Matthew Core. I'm from Southern California, actually, born and raised. But I'm out here in Montana hoping to do some good work for the community and part of Fire Safe Helena.
Yeah, he's from California, but I promise he's a good guy, folks. explain AmeriCorps a little bit, like, because we've got sort of two tags on there. So give us an explanation of AmeriCorps and then the Montana Conservation Corps and how they fit together.
Basically, AmeriCorps is a national service program, and it was developed way back Kennedy actually is responsible for AmeriCorps, but it was actually originally rooted in Roosevelt. And basically, it is a service for a term, an amount of hours that are allotted to the community from the individual and in part on that membership.
Okay. So how did you get involved with that? I mean, what sort of leads you to be involved with something like this?
Oh, well, basically I was working in private industry, and I felt like it was the right time to give back. You know, I felt like I had some knowledge that I could bestow, and that was actually, you know, it could be helpful. And, it was something that I felt very passionate about giving time, because I feel like that is a very, very important thing nowadays, especially, you know, not really looking for things on the back end, but really, you know, putting forth your best effort. I think that really brings out the best in you.
Yeah. So what's the experience been like so far?
Oh, so far, I love
Helena.
Does
it live up, or are you going, man, that was a bad call?
Well, no. The first day I got into Helena, basically, I waved at almost everybody. I think everybody waved back, and that was something that I will always hold close to my heart, because I was like, wow, I feel really welcomed in this community. And it was just like, you know, you don't experience that everywhere. And that's something I really want to carry through, you know, to everywhere I go now. Basically, I felt like, you know, I was welcomed in a very loving way. So thank you for that, Helena.
Yeah. And now you're the fire guy.
But yeah, now I'm the fire guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So actually, in conjunction with a lot of different entities, but right now we're doing FireSafe Helena, and really the main mission of FireSafe Helena is to increase the likelihood that your home survives in wildfire season.
Yeah, and we were talking with Mike beforehand. I mean, it can be a little dangerous. You know, we get lax, not even just for the end of this season, but heading into next. I mean, this is the time to do it, because you remember back and go, man, it wasn't that bad last year. It changes, right? It's later.
It's constantly changing, you know, and what we're really seeing is a lot of unpredictability as far as all these different environments that are fire prone. And basically what we want to do is we want to get ahead of it. They've done research, and they've shown that there's a 4-to-1 cost benefit of actually taking care of, you know, mitigating the home ignition potential, you know, up front. So that's kind of the approach that we're seeing now in a paradigm shift, really, of really taking care of things on the front end, so that, you know, you have a better chance, and the likelihood that fire spreads in your community is lessened. So
yeah, and when that spreads, I mean, we saw several years back, was it is it Paradise, California? I mean, there a city Campfire, was just gone. Well, we've been seeing that this summer in Oregon. I mean, there's communities that are literally just gone. And that's not one of those things that we're like, oh, that can't happen here. I mean, you look at communities like York, like Marysville, like they're in the mountains in between the trees. That could very easily be on the national news, people talking about a community in Montana is no longer there.
Right. And the truth is that it's really, the environment is adapted for fire. We live in a forest, and the forest and fire ecology is, it's been here long before we have. So really adapting to that environment is our main goal.
Yeah.
And really that's also with the paradigm shift that we're talking about here is, really not being so fearful of fire, but realizing that it's a part of, you know, the ecosystem. It's part of, how things, you know, change and how things grow, in this ecosystem.
Yeah. I mean, there are trees that literally they don't release their seeds unless there's a fire, right? I mean, that's literally how some trees plant themselves. So, I mean, fire is also, you know, it destroys, but it creates, and we got to learn to live with it. And that's where FireSafe Helena comes in.
Absolutely.
How long have you been working with FireSafe Helena and doing some of this work we were talking about?
We've been working together for about a month now, and we've developed quite a bit around the idea of home hardening and mitigation for vegetation, right? So what this assessment really is the first start of a project that will pretty much implement new materials into your home that are fire resistant. Also, it will implement vegetative mitigation that will be a huge part of keeping a community fire safe. So really the assessment is the first part of this project. And so we're really reaching out to homeowners, because it really takes their initiative to sign up with us, really. But after that point, we're sharing the responsibility of addressing all of these ignition potentials and elements that are responsible for, you know, ember fires. We're not looking at walls of fire coming at you. We're looking at ember storms, and reducing the ignition potential is what we're really after.
Yeah, and we're talking ignition zone, right? Is what you're looking at. What is that? I mean, when we talk ignition zone, is it a certain amount of space? Yes. How do you define that?
Yeah, so the home ignition zone is actually defined as 200 feet beyond the primary structure. So really what we're looking at is distances from the primary structure on out. Basically, as the distance increases, certain recommendations for, you know, say, for instance, tree crowning, spacing between trees, it lessens. But that's really the area that we're looking at is around 200 feet from the home.
Okay. And this is through, once again, folks, we're talking with Matt Kaur. He's with the Montana Conservation Corps, AmeriCorps member. We had Helena Fire Assistant Chief Mike Chambers on here in the first half. He's hanging out right now. And this, we're talking Fire Safe. Helena, this is a grant, which means it's free for people to take advantage of. They're not going to call you and you're going to say, okay, well, you need to pay $89.99. How do you want to take care of that? I mean, this is something that is absolutely free for people here in Helena.
Absolutely free. All you need to do is reach out to us at tcfswg.org. That's tcfswg.org.
So that's Tri-County
Fire Safe
Working Group. So there you go. They got an acronym, and they put it in an email. So what does this look like, man? I mean, you've been out there. You've been going out. So if somebody shoots you an email and says, hey, I want you to come out and look at my place, make sure that we're safe,
right,
what then happens?
So we go through a risk assessment, and it's a two-part risk assessment. We focus on the structure first, and then we focus on the mitigation of vegetation beyond the structure. And after that point, the homeowner will receive a report, and basically we're using that report to create a cost-benefit analysis. After that point, we will enter into a project agreement with the homeowner, and by 2022, we're hoping to be done with the project.
Okay.
That's what our timeline really is until 2022. So it's very quick. It's a very quick process and something that I've never really seen before. And that's why I'm really passionate about it, because I think this is going to be analogous in a lot of parts of the country that are seeing fire.
Yeah. And you've been out, you've looked at properties. How many times you've been out? How many properties you've been on?
The last couple weeks, I think about 30.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so what are you seeing so far? I mean, what are you out there that you're seeing? You know what? This is a commonality between a lot of these places.
Woodshake roofs. Really, we're focusing a lot on woodshake roofs because there's a high area there, large area, wooden decks. You know, you increase the surface area of something that's combustible, and your likelihood goes up that you'll be in a wildfire. So we're trying to really hone in on the woodshake roofs and the wooden decks, and we've seen that quite a bit. But as far as you know, things like removing wood from the side of your house, or there are actually trees that are very close in proximity to the house, you know, that is another risk that we're looking at. So it's hard to tell people, you know, you want to remove every single tree, right?
Right.
And that's kind of what makes this area cool, is that, you know, it has that sort of ecosystem, and it's part of that ecosystem. But really, we're weighing the risks as to, you know, how likely it is that pine tree will catch the wooden roof on fire.
Yeah. Has there been something that surprised you or homeowners, or maybe both, that you're going out there, you're with the pros, are going, hey, that's a danger that maybe people just didn't realize?
Oh, yeah. Well, so I think it was last week. A soffit basically is an entryway into the attic, mm-hmm. right? And there, a lot of the times when you have a reduced area into your attic, that area is very turbulent. It's literally a vacuum. It'll suck embers right in. And if that area is not meshed, or it doesn't have any meshing, then that sort of introduction of embers into that attic way is one of the main you know, components of a structural fire.
Okay, so people could have, they get rid of the roof that's going to start, you know, they do all the things they need to do. The trees are all cleared out. They've gone ahead and raised the limbs off the ground. Mm-hmm. They've limbed the tree. it's going to get sucked into their attic anyway.
Something as simple as adding a mesh that is an eighth of an inch, right?
Yeah, so very small, fine mesh.
A very, you know, and something you wouldn't necessarily, you know, think of beyond the fact that there's a 200-foot tree in front of your lawn. Or,
right.
You know, so it's all in conjunction with, you know, looking at the details and really trying to be aware as much as we can of the ignition potential rather than, you know, the wall of fire.
Right. I know from talking with Rocky Infanger in the past, who probably knows more about fire than any man on the planet. I'm going to just give him that title. He's told me there's very often fires that start by the stuff that's under the deck. You know, an ember will go through the slat in the deck, and then you've got your weeds or your brush pile or whatever is sitting under the deck. He's told me there's a lot of fires that start that way as well.
And you see, you know, well, different components are responsible for that, right? So if you have a composite that expands a lot, then you have to have that spacing, right? And just as a consequence of that, you get a lot of litter that goes in between those spaces. But really, you know, simple things can be implemented in order to reduce that.
Yeah.
And you're totally right. You know, leaf litter gets under there. Pine needles get everywhere. Apparently, they'll even get into the gutters where you know you've added some mesh onto your gutters.
And it still gets in there. So these are all the things that we just might not realize. You guys are gonna. It's like when guys go in and do a home inspection before you buy a house. They find everything. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here. And we've got a minute and a half left, Matt. So I want to make sure that we let people know how they take advantage of this and who can take advantage of this.
So the project area it spans from. Last chance into the interstate, right? And south of Broadway. So okay. that square right there. And that's the project area, and that's the area that we've been awarded to do this this project. So hopefully there will be more grants that opens up the entire city, but that right now that's what we're focusing on. That is a very hazardous area because it's right next to Ascension and Helena, right?
Yeah.
So that is the project area. If you're within that project area, you can be a part of this project. All you need to do is contact us at tcfswg.org, or you can call 406-422-2418. That's 406-422-2418. And you're going to get... the manager, who is my supervisor, Amy Teagarden, and she is just wonderful to work with. But she will organize a time for the risk assessment to be performed, and then we can go from there, and we okay. can enter into a project agreement. And it's about 60% reimbursement, so it's not insignificant.
Yeah, that's a big thing. So, guys, I appreciate you coming in. If you missed the phone number, if you missed the email address, shoot me an email, troy@montanaradio.com. And I'll hook you up with Matt. So that's all the time we have. Matt, Mike, thanks very much. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.